this is Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe.
And I'm Simon Smart.
Well, here at CPX, I'm sure it comes as no surprise that we're into public Christianity, and that's nowhere better summarised than in Simon's latest book, For God's Sake, An Atheist, A Jew, A Christian and a Muslim Debate Religion. Now, Simon's co-authors, they're also Jane Caro, she's the atheist of the title, there's Anthony Lowenstein, he's a Jew, and Rachel Woodlock, who's a Muslim. Now, I know that here on CPX, we are always going for the hard-hitting topics. I hear that we're not supposed to talk about religion or politics. Well, we've talked about politics recently with Roy Williams, but what about religion? It's a topic that gets people's blood boiling, let's say, and it's guaranteed to produce fireworks. Was that the reason for the book?
Well, kind of. I was invited to be a part of this. I think it was an easy sell to the publisher to have these different perspectives on important questions, and I think there's a bit of an appetite for this sort of thing. There's been a lot of discussions in the last 10 years of atheists writing about why religion is a really bad thing. Sometimes there's a response from the Christians and or other believers. Now, this is sort of bringing people together in one long conversation.
Well, judging from the launch that you recently had at Glee Books, you know, it was a sold-out event. I think it was only standing room by the end of it. And it was a really fun night. And I remember it was chaired by Peter Fitzsimons. And if anyone knows anything about him, it's that he can't stand people who are religious or people who are people of faith. I have to say, though, he was very cheeky, if I can, and that's putting it lightly, but it was a pretty fun experience too. How did you find it?
Peter Fitzsimons, I don't know if it's say he doesn't like people of religion, but he doesn't like religion. He really wants to speak against it. And so we knew that when we got him for that event. We knew it would be entertaining. He's very funny. I happen to love a lot of his writing, so it was sort of easy for me to be part of that, although I knew I'd come in for some stick from him, and you were there, Justine. I did. But in another way, getting that sort of discussion going, that's the sort of thing I love doing. I love mixing with people who see the world very differently from me and to try to have a conversation about what Christianity is really about, because, you know, I think it's really something that drives a lot of the work that we do, that so much of the sort of perception of Christianity out in the public is a caricature and not really what's essentially at the heart of the faith. And as much as we got to sort of say something on that topic on that night, I think it was good to be there.
No, I totally agree with you. But how about before we get into more about what Christianity has to say and how we should not just settle for a caricature of it, I spoke to some people at the launch about the book. So let's get a selection and a sampling of what they had to say about For God's Sake.
I see it as a question of reality. And I'm an atheist, and I see so many of my family and other people I know just don't seem to have a very good grasp of reality. They have this belief in the fantastical, the supernatural, very Catholic. So, but this belief in the supernatural, which they can't explain and they don't feel the need to, whereas it makes no sense to me. It provides solace to people, but it's a panacea. It's not a real thing. It's an illusion of the mind.
We have a great deal of science and technology that shows us how the world was created, and that doesn't make the world any less wonderful or amazing, or the development of life any less wonderful.
Well, I think it's great to be in the public square and to talk about these issues that Australians are generally pretty, not that interested in talking about, I think. I think it's cool. It's great to see a room full of people wanting to talk about God, whether he exists or not. I think seeing the fingerprints of God in men and women and in all creation, I think is, especially for a non-believer, I think that's something that's hard to, order and the beauty of creation. It's just very hard. It takes a lot of faith, I think, to believe that there isn't a creator. Faith on both fronts.
Why do you think it's important to talk about religion?
Because I think if people don't talk about it, it becomes a divisive issue in society, and I think everyone should be open and tolerant to other people's opinions. I do consider myself an atheist, yes. But I'm very happy to tolerate other religions, but I would like other religions to tolerate, you know, my position as well. That's why I think open debate's really healthy and, you know, in our community. That's why I'm here, I guess.
So that was people at the launch of For God's Sake sharing their thoughts about the book. Now, I especially want to mention that lady who was saying that it's really important to have this conversation. She herself is an atheist, but she thinks there is great value in our being able to talk about these issues because it can lead to greater tolerance. What do you reckon, Simon?
Yes, and it's true tolerance. So sometimes you hear about tolerance meaning we just accept everyone's point of view, which isn't really tolerance, and it leads to huge problems, I would argue. And so what I liked about this project was to be able to get in and talk about the things we find, the differences, the things we see the world in ways that are very, very contrasting and conflicting, and being clear on those so that we can then think about, well, how do we then live together as friends? And so in my mind, a really important part of this is to bring out the differences between the sort of atheistic position, the Christian position, the Muslim position, and then go, right, well, what do we do with those?
And how does that pursued through the book? You know, like you're dealing with particular questions that can really get to the heart of the differences between people?
Yeah, so we're looking at these key worldview questions, classical worldview questions. What is the nature of the universe? What's the nature of the human person? How do we understand beauty and goodness and those sorts of things? And then there are a bunch of secondary questions that emerge from those, like doesn't religion cause all the conflict in the world? Or what has religion ever given us anyway? Those sorts of questions. So it's set up around those questions, and we all take turns in writing about them and then responding to each other's questions. I like to think of it as an extended dinner party conversation, one where I probably said too much.
Well, we've got a clip of the differences between Jane and Simon, particularly when it comes to the nature of the human being. Listen in, because you're just about to hear worldviews colliding.
Let's talk about the issue of what it means to be a human being.
My position is that we are, you know, the ape with the large brain. Great, we're another iteration of evolution, of the way that life on this planet has evolved. It's an interesting thing to be a human being. It's an exciting thing to be a human being. Meaning is important to us. But I don't need to have a universal meaning. I don't need to be special to think that I'm important. And I don't need humanity to be special to think that humanity is important. One of my fights, perhaps, with religion is that it often has a very hierarchical view of the world. You know, there's God at the top, then there's men, then there's women, then there's higher animals, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Whereas I think the atheistic view is actually, no, there's just a whole lot of iterations of life, and not one of us is more important than the other.
Yeah, and this is a point at which we differ enormously. I mean, the gulf couldn't be bigger when it comes to this question. To me, I want to keep pushing Jane on this and say, think through the implications of what you're saying. So. Maybe you have
about it. I have. It makes you really happy and content because you understand exactly your own smallness. And that is such a great place to be.
None of us live like that's true. We don't live like human beings aren't special. We treat human beings as uniquely special.
Some human beings.
When we listen to that conversation that you have with Jane, does it kind of feel like you're just coming from completely different positions? Like, how is it possible to even, you know, have any agreement when you view the world in such different terms?
Well, maybe in some of these situations, it's not agreement that you're looking for, but it is understanding. And so Jane needs to hear what I've got to say about what I think about a human being and then try and get some level of understanding, and same me with her too. And I do think when you acknowledge those things, you can then sort of start to think, well, on a whole bunch of issues, which the nature of the human person has massive implications for all sorts of things, the way we treat each other, bioethics, beginning of life, end of life stuff. There's all these sorts of things that, as a Christian believer, I'll have a view on. But unless you know what's at the basis of that view, the understanding is going to be lacking. So I hope in being able to express this, people get a good opportunity to hold those two different things together and to compare them and see which one looks the most logical, most coherent, the most attractive.
Simon, for anyone who listens in on this debate in public, will note how divisive it is and how polarised it is. And it's almost like you can't have a conversation with people who look at the world differently from you. But in For God's Sake, you and your fellow authors are trying to have a different conversation. Now, does the reason it work, is that due to the fact that you're as liberal as they are and that, you know, you agree with them more than you disagree with them?
An interesting thing for me was to see the reaction of my fellow authors, because I think what they assume is you're either going to be a complete fundamentalist Christian or you're going to be a complete liberal and you've sort of abandoned the core of the faith, whereas it's not true. There's so much in between that. You can hold on to the foundations of the Christian faith and to walk out into the world confident in that faith and to have these sorts of conversations. And in this case, listen to other people's perspectives, hear what they've got to say, hear their criticisms, and still feel good about what you've got. And having engaged in these sorts of conversations, I must say I just came away feeling even more bolstered in my faith and glad of it.
Now, did anything written by your fellow authors get you to see your faith in a new light?
The big challenge for me, and it always has been in terms of my faith, is the issue of suffering. And so this question of, is that, you know, if there is a good and all-powerful God on the one hand, how can there also be this terrible suffering that the human experience is so bound up in? And the challenge in this, in answering that sort of question, is definitely there. But the Christian story gives me a whole lot of things on which to hold on to. The story of Jesus is one that's offering enormous hope, hope of the future. It's a hope of a future that sheds light on the present. This is an incredibly redemptive story, and I happen to believe this redemptive story is true. And so that one's a big challenge, but I think there are some ways that the Christian faith can help us with it, even though I think it's going to remain an ongoing struggle for anyone who takes seriously the issue of human suffering.
What really came up through the Vox Pops, particularly with people at the launch, was that there's this persistent vibe, let's say, that if you're an atheist, you're the only adult in the room, basically, right? So they don't need a redemptive story that can, you know, paper over all the cracks in our existence. They're just willing to stand in a hostile universe and say, right, the world is one of blind, pitiless indifference, and I'm grown up enough to face that.
Fully aware of that kind of posture, and I think that is a relatively recent thing of the new atheist vibe, which is, you know, we're the grown-ups, we've worked out that we're alone in the universe, and you other people who aren't as clever as us are still hanging on to faith. And I really want to challenge that. I mean, it's this sense that, you know, faith's irrational and stupid. And Jane acknowledges in the book that that's a bit of a prejudice that she'd had until fairly recently. And so we want to be having these conversations, showing the fact that Christianity is a formidable, intellectually sort of robust faith. These guys might be right, of course. It could be that we're alone in the universe, and Christians have to face up to that and look at hear the criticisms, hear the arguments. Hearing some of what is spoken about in terms of the meaning of life, the purpose that you might find from life, if it's a godless universe, I find quite chilling. And I want to challenge the idea that is a little bit present in this book, that the idea of God not existing is somehow good news. I think if God doesn't exist, it matters a lot and the implications are quite crushing. And I've got good reasons, not proof, but good reasons to think that there is a God that is interested in us and that Jesus Christ is kind of the centre of all of that, and a whole lot of important, wonderful things flow out of that story.
So I guess, is that what you hope for the book, that it gets people to think about the way that they see the world, to sort of pursue that line of thinking and see where it leads you? And if in that case, therefore, something like faith does make sense.
At the very least, I hope what it does is show the sort of conversation you can have around these difficult questions and still be friends. I mean, I'm really get on well with all the other authors. I think we're friends. We get on well. We laugh together. It's a good atmosphere. And it's a bit of a counterpoint to some of the toxic kind of discussions that have gone on between atheists and believers in recent times. So I hope it shows that sort of civil, polite, but nonetheless robust discussion. And yes, of course, as a Christian, I hope to disturb some people's imaginations and I hope to present a picture of Christianity that's attractive and compelling.
And it's something maybe to respond to life's biggest kind of questions.
I feel like we're good in the West at distracting ourselves from these things. We're entertaining ourselves to death, as Neil Postman once said in the 1980s, more so today for sure. But at some point in our lives, we're going to start feeling these longings for things that I think have particular connections to the faith question. And I'm hoping that these sorts of discussions sort of draw us into those conversations.
Okay, so a civil conversation about religion can be found in the book For God's Sake, An Atheist, A Jew, A Christian and A Muslim Debate Religion. It's out now.